In our church, we celebrate Easter for 8 days. It's called an octave. It's an 8-day celebration because the mystery of Easter is so great, too great to be contained within one day. We celebrate it for 8. And this second Sunday of Easter, or Divine Mercy Sunday, is the conclusion of that 8-day octave. But the Easter season will be celebrated for a total of 50 days. I was talking with someone the other night, and we were marveling at the fact that the 50 days of Easter seems to go by in a flash compared to the 40 days of Lent. That seems to take forever to get through. Today's gospel takes us first to Easter Sunday night, and then a week later to today. This gospel passage is one of my favorite gospel passages, and I'm going to try really hard not to pull a Father Prophet and go on forever about my favorite gospel passage. This gospel passage, we see the apostles afraid. They're behind a locked door. They're afraid probably of the Jewish authorities. They crucify Jesus. What are they going to come and do to us? Now these rumors have started spreading that Jesus is alive. Is Jesus going to come back and exact some sort of revenge on us? We abandon him. We deny knowing him. So those locked doors represent their fear, their uncertainty. And Jesus appears to them. He passes through the locked door, through their fear and uncertainty. And what does he say to them? He says, "Peace be with you." The greeting of the risen Jesus is always a greeting of peace. He's not there for revenge. He's there to tell them the good news that he has risen. He shows them the scars of his crucifixion, the signs of his love. And he shows them that he's now alive. 1 week later, the story repeats itself. This time, Thomas is there. He wasn't going to believe unless he saw the Lord. And we hear that beautiful interaction, that beautiful profession of faith that Thomas makes in Jesus, and the beautiful promise that the Lord makes to those who believe in him. In this gospel passage, we see played out so beautifully the mercy of Jesus and the humanity, our humanity, reflected back to us through St. Thomas. This second Sunday of Easter is often referred to as Divine Mercy Sunday. And the Divine Mercy devotion was a devotion that was revealed to Jesus to a Polish nun by the name of St. Faustina. And Jesus came to St. Faustina and revealed to her that he wanted this day, the second Sunday of Easter, to be known as Divine Mercy Sunday. And so Pope John Paul II, the Polish Pope, when he canonized St. Faustina, decreed that today should be known as Divine Mercy Sunday. We have the image of the Divine Mercy here in the sanctuary, and the image is also on my chasuble. It's an image that Jesus asked St. Faustina to have painted, the image of his heart radiating light for all, for sinners. So on this second Sunday of Easter, this gospel shows us so much the mercy of Jesus. We reflect on the humility of Jesus, right? And first that he became man, that he took on flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, God become one of us, that he lived and preached and taught so that we could hear the good news of God's love for us. And then that ultimate sign of humility when he offers his life on the cross. Jesus shows us his mercy in that he goes to the cross for us sinners. The just man who gives his life for the sake of the unjust. When we think about the cross of Jesus, we often think that his greatest suffering was a physical suffering. But actually, his greatest suffering was a mental and a spiritual suffering because he took on himself all sin, the sin of every human being, from the beginning of time until the end, to all of us. He took on our sins of omission and commission. He took on all of that, and that's why he cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He speaks that on our behalf, those who are far from God because of our sinfulness. So when we look at the cross of Jesus, we see the mercy of God displayed for us, the just offering himself for us. And then in his resurrection, when he appears to his apostles and disciples, he once again shows his mercy to Peter, who denied knowing him three times, to all of the other apostles who ran away in fear and were nowhere to be found at Calvary. He shows his mercy and his forgiveness to those who betrayed him, and he breathes the Holy Spirit on them. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. The sins that you forgive are forgiven. Those that you hold, those that you retain are retained. That mercy of Jesus, the risen Jesus, overflows into the sacrament of reconciliation or confession. This particular gospel passage is the scriptural origin of confession. Confession isn't something that the church made up. Jesus gave it to us. And through his apostles and their successors, the bishops and the priests, he gives the ability to forgive sin, to communicate the mercy that comes from his cross through his resurrection to all of us. And then when we look at Thomas, we see the need for that mercy, for that forgiveness. That doubting of Thomas represents our own doubts, our own sinfulness and failings and omissions and commissions. The times when we refuse to give ourselves over to God, when we choose sin over him, when we choose something lesser than God over him. And Thomas says, I will not believe unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and I put my arm into his side. And so Jesus knows this, and he comes the week later, and he says to Thomas, come here, touch me, see the wounds of my crucifixion. The risen body of Jesus still holds on to those scars of his crucifixion. They're in heaven right now. And when we look on those wounds, what we see is love and mercy. Jesus accepts Thomas in his humility, in his doubt, in his sinfulness. He accepts him and he forgives him. And so the Lord does to all of us who are sinners, all of us. He shows us his wounds and says, see my love. And then he extends forgiveness to us, his mercy. And on our part, we have to accept that. I fear sometimes in our modern world, we have very little sense of sin, that we feel like, oh, we're not so bad. We didn't do anything awful. We don't really need God's forgiveness. Well, if we didn't need it, why would Jesus have gone to the cross? Why would he have paid such a great price for sinners? Of course we need it. We need to fall at the feet of Jesus and make that beautiful profession of faith that St. Thomas made, my Lord and my God, recognizing the fact that I am indeed a frail, sinful human being, but God can do so much when I turn myself over to him. So my friends, on this Divine Mercy Sunday, we remember the mercy that Jesus shows to us who are sinners, shows to all of us, that his heart desires us to be close to him, to come to him, to fall on our feet and make that very simple profession of faith, my Lord and my God. And just as he did for St. Thomas, he will do for us. He has mercy on us poor sinners and will give us his grace to raise us up, to raise us up to live according to our dignity as his sons and daughters of God.